Good morning. Please go ahead and be turning your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. On Thursday, I started to talk about one of the things God has called us to as Christians. He's called us to suffer. The week before that, I talked about we've been called to love. You and I have been called to do a lot of things in the Scriptures. And we've been called to purity. We've been called to holiness. We've been called to humility. We've been called to testify. I mean, the list goes on and on. And one of the things I said as I began my lesson, towards the end of my lesson, I should say, on Thursday night, was the fact that why does God allow us to suffer? And the first promise I put up there was the fact that one of the primary reasons we suffer in this world, and God allows that to happen, is so that you and I do not get comfortable here. Because this is not meant to be home. This is not our final destination. The Bible says that you and I are strangers and aliens in this world. We're simply passing through. And you know, sometimes people ask me, why are you so intense in your preaching? Why are you so intense when you open up the Word of God? Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, in case you haven't noticed. Every time I preach as if it's my last sermon. Because there's no guarantee I'm going to be here tomorrow. There's no guarantee you're going to be here tomorrow. And that's the attitude I've always had. Over 25 years of doing this, that when I speak up, I better have something to say. If not, I better sit down and be quiet. Amen? But you see, one day I'm not going to be here. One day you are not going to be here. This is a picture of fish on the beach. They have something called gills. You and I have lungs. That's why we're able to dwell on earth. But God created them with gills. They can only breathe properly in water. If they stay out on the beach like this for too long, they die. Why? Because they were not meant for the beach. How are you going to make this fish happy? You got to put him back inside the water. You got to put him back in his element. The same is true for us. Earth will never make us happy. Because you and I were not designed to live here forever. We're here for a temporary time. You know, to make one of these guys happy, you got to do this. Put them back in the water. Now they're back in the element. Now they're having a great time. Are you with me? Just like if you put somebody in water without any kind of oxygen or whatever, yeah, they may be in there and swim a little bit, but they better get out and get back on land very quickly. Because that wasn't designed for us. Are you with me? And so I've titled my lesson this morning, Longing for Home. Longing for Home. The first thing I want to say, even as we start talking about this, you and I need to get comfortable with death. Get comfortable with it. Why? Because the Bible says we need to. Look in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. It says, a good name, verse 1, is better than fine perfume. Watch this. And the day of death, better than the day of birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For death is the destiny of every man. The living should take this to heart. Now, you can deny death all you want. I'm not going to think about death. It's going to happen. Okay? You and I are going to lose loved ones. You and I have lost loved ones. And one day, you are not going to be here. One day, I am not going to be here. And we need to get comfortable with it. as Christians. Why? Because death for us is going home. Oh, God, this is going to be a long summer. I'll keep you guys here till 12:30. You can't find me. And if you did, I'm not going to pay. Well, see, it says here that it is the day of death is better than the day of birth. That's interesting. You said, Richard, you're preaching a funeral sermon. Yes, in a sense, I am. You know, I've always thought, you know what? Man, what would it be like if I got to preach my own funeral? You know, the casket is up front. It's time for the eulogy or whatever they call it, and I get up. And I preach my sermon, and I get back into the box, and I go back. If I could preach my own sermon, this is probably what it's going to sound like. Now, that would be a pretty trick, isn't it? They ain't dead. But it says the day of death is better than the day of birth. That's the Bible. Why is that? Because when, as a Christian, when you die, you go back to be with your God. As opposed to, it's awesome when babies are born, they're beautiful, they're cute, they're awesome. But they're going to have to go through many problems in this life. And I believe that's why it's saying the day of death is better than the day of birth. It's all about perspective. Yes, it's a loss to us, but it's a gain for God. It's a gain for you. It's a gain for me. Amen? Look in Psalm 89. Because that is death is the destiny of all men. You say, Richard, are you asking us to be thinking about death every day? That's not what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to be thinking about going home to your God every day. Death is simply the avenue by which you are going to get there. Are you with me? In Psalm 89, in verse 48, it says, what man can live and not see death, or save himself from the power of the grave? Every single human being is going to die. Denying it is not going to change anything. Yes, it is true. We're going to have joyous moments on this earth and, you know, births, graduations, marriage, you know, all kinds of birthday parties. You know, we're going to have great moments. Okay? But notice, it's all temporary. All those joyous moments are temporary. We're talking of eternal joy and eternal happiness on the other side. Death is nothing else but going home to God if you're a Christian. Death is nothing else except going home to God if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. Notice I didn't say if you're a believer. Even the demons believe and shudder, the Bible says. We got to make sure that we're right with God. Look in Psalm 116, a passage we're very familiar with. In Psalm 116, in verse 15, the Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of one of his saints. You see, when a Christian dies, when a Christian passes on, yes, we're going to miss the person. Yes, it's painful. I mean, I can't even begin to describe the pain. I've lost both my parents. I've lost a lot of friends and loved ones. The pain is indescribable. Like I've said before, it's like somebody took a bazooka and shot it right through me. And I can see my insides. That's what it feels like. It's painful. But look at the way God sees it. God says, precious in my sight is when one of my sins gets to come home. And that's why I should say, including myself, they will not trade places with you and me. as beautiful as this earth is, and as wonderful as this is, they would not say, you know what? Hey, Lord, I want to come back and go be with my wife. Oh, no, I'm sorry. They didn't cut that kind of love for you. Because once they got to the other side, I said, ooh, I'm not going back there. She's coming. He's coming to come join me over here. I'm not going back. How many people have ever flown first class in this audience? First class. Okay, hang on. There's first class and there's first class. I'm talking first class across the ocean to like Europe, unlike Singapore, like on an airline like Singapore Airlines or Emirates. I'm talking about in first class where you can take a shower. You see, all of us, we're all in coach. And the worst thing is, they will put that curtain, even between coach and business class. I'm like, what's going on up there? And then also, there's another curtain between business and first class. Those guys don't want to talk to you. You see, when you form first class, if you have the means, all power to you. You don't want to go back to coach. Do you know what these airlines are now doing? They're taking the seats out to create more space. All of a sudden, you're sitting there, and your legs are like this. I mean, to me, planes are just buses in the sky. That's what they've become. But first class, please, sign me up. But when you see the price tag, you say, oops, sorry. Let me go back to coach. But you see, eternity is going to be so awesome. You're not going to want to come back. If anything, you'll be praying and hoping that your loved ones will come on the other side. You see, God's view of death is very different from ours. That's the first thing we got to get used to. God is excited when one of his kids come home. You see, like Gary even mentioned this morning in his class, the prodigal son in Luke 15, the father stood every day and was looking for his son to come home. That's where it starts. Where that young man did a U-turn, came to his senses, repented, and came back home. That's what becoming a Christian is. Going back home to your father. That's where it starts. And then when you and I die from this earth, we really go home. Are you with me? It's not part of my lesson, but the Bible says that, you know what, when you and I pass on, angels will come carry you. Ooh, baby. Oh, come on now. Now I'm talking. Angels will take you to Abraham's bosom. That's what the Bible says. I believe it because the Bible says that's the way it is. Amen? But that's exciting. You know, again, it's not as if God is this kind of God that's up there, you know, waiting to strike people down. Look in Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel 18, and I'll give you another reference. Ezekiel 18 in verse 22. Ezekiel 18, verse 22. Talking about the wicked. Says, none of the offenses he has committed will be remembered against him. Because of the righteous things he has done, he will live. Do I take any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord Almighty? Rather, am I not pleased when they turn from their ways and live? The Bible says God does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked. The same sentiments you will find in Ezekiel 33, verse 11. It's not this God that's sitting up there wanting to strike you, waiting. He can't wait for you to mess up and then take you from this earth. That's not the kind of God he is. He wants you to come to your senses, though. Are you with me? But God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Now look in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. I want to look at something that Paul said here. And this is where I'm going to spend the rest of my time. Philippians chapter 1. in verse 21. Paul writes, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for me that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ." Look at what Paul is saying here. He says, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He says, for me to die is gain. He says, I desire to go be with Christ. As a matter of fact, between the two. Now, if I still remain on this earth, say, it will be fruitful labor for me. It's not as if we're sitting around just waiting for the day to die or waiting for Jesus to come back. There's fruitful labor involved. The grace of God ought to produce stuff in us. Amen? I appreciate everything Gary has said about Galatians. But the Bible also tells us that you and I should not receive the grace of God in vain. That grace motivates us to be everything God wants us to be. That is the gospel. Are you with me? But you see, one day, we get to leave this place. Do you see it as gain, though? Or do you see it as, oh, man, look at all my loved ones that I'm going to be leaving behind. I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to going to heaven. I think about heaven every day. I'm sure you guys are tired of me saying it. I know my funeral brothers are going to bring that up. But that's okay. Because this is what it's all about. The Bible talks about how you and I, in the twinkling of an eye, will be changed. Just like that. Bam. Amen? Paul understood that going home was going to his God. And that was why he was able to say, for me, it is gain. Now, for the people we leave behind, it's a loss. And that's why even a lot of times when we go to the home where they've lost somebody, you know, as we try and comfort them, we say, you know, we're really sorry for your loss. That's the reason why we say that. But you see, their loss is heaven's gain. Their loss is that man's gain or that woman's gain. Are you with me? It's all about perspective. And so very quickly, I want to talk about three things that we gain when we die. Are you ready? Number one. What's up with this thing? Okay. What do we gain? We gain a better home. Can I get an amen? Amen. One of my favorite passages in the entire Bible, John 14. In verse 1, Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. Some versions say, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Whoo! In my Father's house. That's what I'm talking about. Heaven is going to make the Bellagio look like a swamp. You and I are going to get a better house. You can write this verse down. 1 Peter 1:4. Beginning verse 4, talking about you and I, we're about to inherit. Our inheritance can never spoil, fade or perish, kept in heaven for you. We're receiving a better home. And I've said it before, I don't know about you, I like free. My mortgage right now is Wells Fargo. They still own the house. The day I finish paying it off, then they'll give me the title deed. I know we have a few brothers in the room that finished paying for their house. I praise God for you. The house is now yours. But you have to pay for that thing. And it took you many years. This house, this home, you don't have to pay anything for it. There's no interest rate. It's free. Not built by some construction guy, built by God himself. That's what I want. Amen? He said, what's it going to look like? Well, you're going to have to stay faithful to see it. Ain't no preview on this one. You know how it is? You want to buy a house, you go on, you know, you go on the internet and you see all the pictures. You know what amazes me? People are trying to sell their house and they don't put pictures there. I want to see what I'm buying. That's the least you can do. And I'm talking good pictures. So that before I see it face to face, you know, okay, I got an impression already. And believe it or not, all God does through his spirit living in us is give us glimpses of what heaven is going to be like. But we're going to gain a better home. Amen? Again, one of the things I love about this is the fact that they're not going to be any bills. Have you thought about that? You know how it is at the end of every month? You get paid, praise God. And then the utilities show up. You got to pay for water. You got to pay for gas. You got to pay for electricity. I mean, it goes on and on. Okay? You got to pay those bills. Okay, kids, enjoy living at home. Because one day, you're going to be out on your own, and you're going to start paying those bills. And I promise you, mom and dad are not going to be paying your bills for you. Okay? I'm telling you that right now. Say, well, I can't wait to get out of the house. I can't wait either. When you start paying your own bills, hey, Ma. Yeah. Hey, Dad, can I come home? What's up? Well, things are tight out here. Oh, I was trying to tell you I was trying to tell you about that your entire life. Man, things are expensive. Ooh, I'm glad you finally figured that out. They're about to cut off my cell phone. Well, what has that got to do with me? Could you help me, please? Obviously, because we love them, we'll help them pay some bills. But if you're paying that bill week in and week out, month in and month out, you got a problem. But this one, no bills. I mean, wouldn't you wish one month shows around and all the bills come in to the mail and it's all 000? That's what heaven's going to be like. Amen? A better home. Number two, a better body. I wasn't expecting that reaction. 1 Corinthians 15, a better body. In 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 42, it says, so it will be at the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown perishable is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, but it is raised a spiritual body. I mean, think about that for a second. We are going to get a different body. This body you have, this body I have, is going to turn back to sand. Sand. That's why it doesn't intimidate me to talk to people about God. I'm talking to sand. I'm talking to dust. And I'm sure, I don't know about you, dust does not intimidate me. You and I are going to turn back to dust. But the Bible says we're going to get an immortalized body, a glorified body, a resurrected body. You go read 1 Corinthians 15 all you want in your own spare time. It's all there.
we will be transformed in the twinkling of an eye. You know, I mean, I've always wondered what it's like to fly. I'm not talking about getting on an airplane. You know, you watch all these Captain America and all these science fiction movies. They're fun. But I'm talking of this is the real thing. Well, I'm over there for a minute, you know, talking to Joe Washington. We're reminiscing about our time here on this earth when we were in Gwinnett. I said, catch you later. I just go, phew. Today goes. Or better yet, I don't have to fly. I just go, I'll see you later, and I just disappear. And next thing I know, I show up and I'm talking to John. I say, hey, Big John, what's up? How's it going? Remember, there's no marriage in heaven. So marriage somebody's not going to be there and say, hey, why are you spending so much time with my guy? He's not going to be your guy anymore. It's in the Bible. There's no marriage in heaven. We're all going to be there serving God. Amen? Amen. So you say, hey, you know, hey, Lisa, can I talk to you? Joy's not going to show up and say, hey, don't talk to my woman. Over there, she's not your woman. Right now, on this earth, she's your woman. Okay, and that's why nobody's going to come near her and mess with her. Are you with me? Because what God has joined together, let no man separate. Amen? But on the other side, it's a different story. Yeah. Amen? That's an aside. That wasn't part of the lesson. But we're going to get a different body. A body that is not going to get sick. I've read the Bible. I know you've read the Bible too. I don't see any hospitals in heaven. Amen? It's going to be awesome, man. No colds, nothing. No pain in your joints, nothing. You're just looking young every day. That's what I'm talking about. Amen? And finally, a better fellowship. I mean, if you think about it, heaven is going to be the great reunion of all the saints. People that you and I read about in the Old Testament, people that have lived way before us, and even people that are going to live after us, after we leave this place. It's going to be a great reunion. I was thinking about this the other day. I don't know, maybe it's the same for you. When I see somebody that I went to school with, maybe elementary school or high school, half the time I don't recognize them. And it's very embarrassing when they recognize me, because they say, oh, you look exactly the same. And I'm standing there going, you look very different. I'm being honest. But see, I think the reason I have a hard time is because in my mind, I'm still thinking about them the last time I saw them in high school, 35 years ago. I'm just like, really? Is that you? I remember the name. It's like, wow, that's you. Hey, how you doing, man? It's good to see you. But what I'm trying to do in my mind is trying to remember what the guy looked like. But see, in heaven, I'm not going to have that problem. You're not going to have that problem. He's not going to be, hey, Scotty, what's up? First of all, you're gonna have a perfect memory, just like Jesus. So you're not going to forget anybody's name. You're not going to forget what they look like. I'm looking forward to that. I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to that. Because to me, it's very embarrassing when I meet somebody that I haven't seen in a long time, and they're saying hello to me. Wow, it's good to see you. And I'm like, man, I'm sorry, man. Where do I know you from? And then they say, oh, man, I am so sorry. Hey, it's good to see you. But heaven is going to be an incredible, better fellowship. Amen. I can't wait to spend time with Abraham. Outside of Jesus, that's my favorite character in the Bible. And I think here's what's going to happen. I'm telling you guys now. When I get over there, I am going to monopolize the time with Abraham. You guys are going to have to take a number. Say, hey, how long has Richard been talking to Abraham? I don't know. Quarter century? Okay, I'll come back. Remember, eternity, time never passes. You can come back. But when I get first luck with Abraham, we're going to be talking a long time. Again, I don't know which character it is for you in the Bible. But I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to talking to Paul. I said, what was that like? Man, everything you went through, what kept you going? Tell me. It's like Joe Cook is waiting to talk to Paul. Hey, Joe, keep waiting. I love you, bro. As a matter of fact, when I'm done with Paul, I'll beep you. I'll let you know so you can just appear. All right? Love you, man. Now, Paul, where were we? Keep talking. It's going to be an incredible fellowship. It's not going to be boring. It's going to be wonderful. Amen? Brothers and sisters, if this is what we are going to gain, I believe we need to get urgent about saving souls. I don't know about you. I am tired of going to funerals where all these false teachers get up and they're telling people to get up and pray just into their heart. I'm sick and tired of it. Enough is enough. Oh yeah, God is loving, God is this and God is this. Just accept him. Excuse me? What are you going to do about it? What am I going to do about it? Are we just going to sit there and let people be deceived day in and day out? Or are we going to open up our mouths and stop being afraid of dust? How many more sermons do you need to hear? Now, if you're not right with God this morning and you're sitting and listening to me, you need to get your life right. I'm just let me tell you straight up. You just seriously think about your life and whether you are going to be with God one day in eternity. Not based on something that you believed. I'm talking of based on what the Bible says. Can you show me your conversion in the Bible? That's my question. Say, well, I don't. I can't. Well, I appreciate the humility. Then get humble. Get help. And get into the scriptures and do what the Bible says. So that when your day comes, you know exactly where you're going. Are you with me? We can't play with this. I was talking to a brother yesterday who is one of the elders in the church in Los Angeles. And we're just talking. And he said something. As we were talking, he says, Richard, life is short. And I stopped and I thought, you know what? I say that all the time to people. But it was good for me hearing it. Again, he says, Richard, life is very short. Make it count. Because one day, we get to go home. God bless.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so grateful that we get to go home and be with you one day. We are grateful for everything that you've done for us on this earth, but we are most grateful for you sending Jesus to die on the cross for us to give us that opportunity. We know that there was no other way for us to be forgiven of our sins, and because of what he did for us, we have that chance, and we do long for home. We think about what that's going to be like Richard has talked about. And thank you for that message. I pray that it'll penetrate our hearts. I pray that you will help our hearts to really desire to be with you and to think about that constantly. And I pray that that will motivate us to live the lives you've called us to live. We love you. We pray that you protect everybody going home and this week, and that you will help us to make it home one day. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.